Jude is the last book in the Bible before Revelation. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. From there, I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Or is it 1 Thessalonians? In the garden, there were two trees. One you were told to eat out of, the other you were told not to. In the last days, we find in Scripture two kinds of churches. In Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, he's talking about the Lord coming. How many know Jesus is coming? Shall not come except there come a falling away first. He's talking about the church falling away and not being the church that it was when Jesus left. My pastor used to quote an ancient saying. He quoted it often in the pulpit, and it was this: the constant dropping of the water wears away the stone. I was born in a revival atmosphere of a church that my pastor pastored 27 years. The atmosphere of revival never left the church. It had seasons, times when the Spirit of God really moved, and times when maybe it wasn't as strong, but you always saw the prayer rooms full. You always saw the altars, and the fervency was constant. It was there. Even though I attended that church the last 5 years before he resigned as a young teenager, I went there off and on, and the Spirit was still there. I knew before I went there was going to be a spirit of fervency in this place that's going to be of God. And we are definitely, I believe, living in the last days, that the Scripture says that there would be a falling away spoken of that we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And that is, before Jesus comes, he said there would be a falling away. How did he know that? He didn't get that from some Old Testament passage. He got that by the Holy Ghost. And so he wrote it. Stephen Hill, I mentioned some few weeks back, who was used in the Brownsville revival, was a great revival that happened in Florida. He recently has spoken about a vision he had of an avalanche that it was a spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. He was crying out that in the vision God gave him of the church that was that part of the church that had fallen away. It could slide and a lot of destruction. When you look with these thoughts in mind, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3. I will read it. And he again, it is amazing how most of the writers spoke of the day in which we live. How did they know that? But by the Holy Ghost. But in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." I think we've seen some of those men. But I also want us to, we're going to look a little bit later at the doctrine of devils that is associated with the great falling away. Now the Bible lets us know there is going to be a church that's on fire for God when he comes. And there's also going to be a church that is associated with a falling away. And I want to be part of that on fire for God church. I don't want to be part of that church that is having a falling away. But in order to keep that from happening, we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And it says that there would be in the false church the falling away. One of the things that you would be able to recognize it is there is a doctrine of devils that would be characteristic of it. I believe that I have seen these doctrines of devils develop. In my view, if I have lived, I don't think these doctrines came overnight. I believe they were slowly developed. I've watched over the years in my living for God, and many of you have many years behind you, I've watched the emphasis of the gospel message change little by little, slowly, from doctrines that no longer was the focus on Christ, but the tension and the message slowly drifted from Christ to self. It seemed to shift from the emphasis. When I was in a fired up church, the emphasis was laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. But then we find the prosperity message is totally opposite. God wants to make you rich. The problem that I see in this is the focus went from Jesus and what he did on the cross, and the attention went from there to man. The message of grace has become lopsided. The doctrine of grace has covered everything in a way that the scriptures do not declare it covers. Years ago, Billy Graham filled stadiums with sermons of hell and the need of holiness. Now the emphasis, you couldn't get a crowd if you were known for preaching hell, unless God raises up a man like that. But the emphasis now in the Colosseums and the crowds is no longer of those about hell or living holy and Christ, but it is, again, very subtly to focus on self. Man wasn't the message in the early church. Christ was. And in my early walk with God, we wanted to get a new life in him. My old life, we didn't really talk about it. It was hid in Christ. But then the message I began to see slowly changed from Christ-centered to self-messages. A better you. There's a purpose for your life. Well, yes, that's biblical, but the emphasis, again, shifted from Christ to man. And to books I've seen written that the center of the attention is about me, what he can do for me, versus what I can do for him. That is quite a contrast from Revelation, when the book of Revelation speaks about, in chapter 12, verse 11, they no longer love their lives unto death. The reason they were willing to sacrifice is it's not about me, it's about the message, and it's about Christ. I have often, well, not often, but I have visited my home church on times, and I'm grieved over the years when I visit it. I sometimes feel like Nehemiah when he observed the broken down walls of Jerusalem. He remembers when Jerusalem was thriving in a place where God and the living for God was strong, but now because they got away from God, and as the prophet said would happen, it became broken down. Now Nehemiah visits it, and he is quite grieved. When I visited my home church, what grieved me the most was I didn't see the fervency of prayer. I didn't see the emphasis of prayer. I didn't see the emphasis of crying out and seeking God. Although they had church, it just grieved me with the different ones that had come. But back to the title of the message is a slow wearing down process. How did that church, he said there was a falling away. How did it fall away? Now, at first, it doesn't seem possible. I remember in the church that I was part of, and there was a fervency. There were preachers on fire for God. And in fact, we were always anxious. The things that you heard talk about after church was, boy, did I get a blessing in the Holy Ghost. Boy, did I have a good time in prayer. Boy, the Spirit was moving. And you don't quite hear those comments anymore. What was emphasized was not necessarily bad, but it was a falling away to some degree. And the devil, he always is on attack. And there is a constant, is a drip, drip, drip will accomplish its purpose in a given time. I thought my home church would always be a place that the atmosphere would be fervent. I thought it would always be there. But I watched over the years a slow wearing down process. What can be true for a hole in a cement? I visited a plumbing store one day, and I needed to use the restroom, and I went downstairs to the basement, and there underneath a toilet was a leak, and you could see in the concrete a hole about an inch and a half deep and about 3 inches across. There had been a leak in that toilet, and it had constantly, by dripping, drip, 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 wore away that hole. It didn't happen overnight. What is true of that cement hole is true of Niagara Falls, of the water going over, slowly wearing back. But how did the church change? How was that falling away? How did it take place? Well, to answer that, church is made of people. So let's examine people. The church is full of people, so the only way to see it erode is to examine the lives in the book of God of how Satan has come against God's people to cause them to erode away. Let's look at some individual characters and ask, how did it happen? It is sad to say that some Christians are easy mark for Satan. It doesn't take Satan long to overcome them. But let's look at a man in the Bible and look at the slow wearing away process. Here we have Samson. Samson was a mighty man used of God. But we read in Scripture, she pressed him daily. There was a slow wearing down process. The loss of strength came at once when finally his hair was cut and he rose. But that happened like that. But really, the erosion was taking place in his heart, inside of him, slowly, as the Scripture says, she pressed him daily. I remember when I was in the woods, I stepped on a log that I thought was solid. But when I stepped on it, I went clean to the ground. And I realized the log looked good on the outside, but it had rotted away on the inside. That was the life of Samson. Sometimes you'll see someone just immediately quit serving God. I can guarantee you it doesn't happen that way. There is a slow wearing down process inwardly. They're able to have a good surface, but inwardly there is a slow wearing away that the enemy of our soul is working at. And when you study the history of Israel, when Nehemiah showed up and saw the broken down walls, it didn't happen overnight. When you study Israel, here they are at a time where they're strong and they have great leaders, they have great prophets, they have great kings. But you can see the process of this gradual erosion in the history of Israel. At first, Israel shunned idols. Gradually, they came to tolerate idols. Then the toleration turned to acceptance, and acceptance resulted finally in participation. And then you read that verse that said, they feared the Lord, but they kept their idols. In the end, what had once been avoided as loathsome, it assumed a respectability. And that is true in America. It's true of a family that one day breaks up. It's true of a church. It's true of the tactics of the enemy on everything. Let's look at America in general. Now, America is not the kingdom of God. It was founded by great men, but the kingdom of God is only full of born-again people. Not everybody in America is born again. So I do want to make a distinction. America is a great country, but we have seen the slow wearing down process on America. So permit me to look at America in the natural. We've all watched over the years bills to legalize racetrack or gambling and liquor by drink. They wanted to bring in liquor. And the first time these items are presented to the public to be voted on, the proponents, they're voted down. But then the proponents keep coming back again and again until resistance is overcome and we find the laws are changed. California. How many know the state of California? Over and over again, we have said no to same-sex marriage. But we've got these reprobate judges that override it, and it keeps coming up for a vote again and again, and we find this slow wearing down process. And eventually, we find it'll probably get voted in. But homosexuality, 30 years ago, it didn't have a chance. But these proponents keep coming back again and again and again. Let's look at, again, the erosion of our great country. When television first came, it was rather mild as far as moral aspects of its shows were concerned. From Gunsmoke to Marshall Dillon and Kitty and good old Chester. But you compare the present crop of programs with the old reruns, and what a far cry from the TV shows of what they show today from what they did back then. David Wilkerson was absolutely right in his vision of seeing eventually pornography coming. It didn't happen overnight. Each year, TV has become a little more daring. And by the slow wearing down process, the purveyors of filth have made their face acceptable to millions and millions of homes. In the same manner, we see homosexuality becoming more and more acceptable. It wasn't accepted by the general public years ago, but they came out of the closet, and they keep coming and coming and coming, and until it's becoming more acceptable. It'll always be sin in the eyes of God. Years ago, politicians, when they were caught in a scandal of a moral failure, they would no longer run for office. Their career was done. Nowadays, a politician runs and he's caught in horrible sexual scandals, and he waits 2 years, and he comes back, and he gets voted on. That would have never happened. What happened to our morals in America? It's the slow wearing down process. Now let's look at the church. We find the same thing, the strategy is used on the church, the same tactics on the church. His mission, the devil, is to destroy. It doesn't matter if he wants to destroy America. It doesn't matter if he wants to destroy a home. It doesn't matter if he wants to destroy a church. The mission of the devil is to steal and to kill and to destroy, and he's sticking with it. Now, Samson, when he first encountered Delilah, he seemed to have no difficulty in resisting her enticements. But when you read the story, the text says, "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him," it says, "so that his soul was vexed unto death, and he told her his heart." There was the slow wearing down process. This is one of the great tragedies of Scripture. She pressed him daily. It was a slow wearing down process. Samson's beginning was strong, but he crumbled under the ceaseless pressure. And these words tell the story of Satan's strategy for this present hour in which we live. As Delilah pressed Samson daily, the adversary will press on the true church, trying to get it to become a false church, by daily pressing on our minds and on our spirits and the whole human race. Slowly but surely, he wants to wear down the multitudes and take them captive. But I am here to say it doesn't have to happen. You can be victorious over the devil in spite of his tactics. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to be a trophy on his wall. We read of the sorrow of the fall of David. If he had still been the same man who faced Goliath as a young man, if he'd have been that same man when he faced Delilah or faced Bathsheba, he would not have failed. What happened in David's life? There had been a slow, imperceptible deterioration of his spiritual strength. His stern self-discipline had been weakened. No wonder we're called to be disciples. The man gazing at Bathsheba from the rooftop, he wasn't the same God-fearing lad, shepherd lad who faced lions, bears, and giants unafraid. Will you permit me to ask you this question? Is the result of the wearing down process inevitable? No! 1,000 times no. Victory is not easy, but it is certainly attainable if we are willing to pay the price and die daily. Let me show you an example in the Bible of those that did make it, and the slow wearing down process did not have an effect. Potiphar's wife pressed Joseph daily, but he did not fall like Samson. He regarded sin with such horror that he fled instead of remaining to enjoy the advances of that evil woman. May I impress you that to surrender passively to the spirit of the age in which we live is to deny the power of our living God. There is a power that we can have access to called the Holy Ghost. There is a book we have access to called the Word of God. And this word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Him. You don't have to fall. You don't have to become lukewarm. You don't have to become part of that church that falls away. You can be part of that church that He is coming for without spot or wrinkle, and you can be hot and on fire for God and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, it may be getting worse out there, but it doesn't have to affect me as a Christian. And giving in to the times, and if I have an attitude that is one of defeatist, then I'm going to be overcome. But if I will get an attitude that God wants me to have, and that attitude is this, that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Revelation chapter 3 verse 5 says this, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Listen to this. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There is a true church, and there is a one that is falling away. You can remain, we can remain the true church. The true church is not determined by numbers. The true church is determined by its holiness and by its love that stays hot for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be that much of the church has grown cold and has been affected by the slow down wearing process, but that doesn't mean it has to affect me. I plan to be more dedicated. We don't have to grow colder. We can stay hot for Jesus Christ. One of the best pieces of scriptural advice to keep you hot is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It's some good practical advice. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There is what is called the transforming of the mind, the renewing of the mind. What I'm trying to say in the scripture is saying is keep the love of the world out of your life. Make sure your mind is one that has on the helmet of salvation, that you keep a disciplined mind and think on these things that are true and honest and of good report and things that are lovely, and keep your mind continually occupied with the things of God. Keep your mind full of God and His Word, and let the Holy Ghost and the comfort and the communion of the Holy Spirit continually occupy you. And by doing that, it will crowd out the enemy and things he had left to fill your mind with. An illustration is, many years ago, the city of Galveston, Texas, was flooded by sea waters. It came rushing in during a hurricane. The death toll was staggering. After this tragedy, the whole community got together to keep that from ever happening again, and they built a seawall. It was built along the gulf of the edge of the city. It's quite a sight now. Now when a hurricane gets close, the same waters that came rushing in years ago when it wiped them out, those same waves come rushing in, as though the sea itself has a memory of the day it overwhelmed the population, and it's trying to do it again. But there is a barrier now. The waves smash against that wall, the water hits it, and it is said at times the water go up as high as 100 feet, but no flood engulfs the city. The same thing will happen to you with a Christian whose mind is full of the Word and the anointing by the Spirit. When the waves of filth and the times in which we live and the spirit of the age comes in and tries to come into your mind, because you have a wall and because you have a standard against it, and because that the Lord Himself has, when this enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raise up a standard against it, you will stand and you will remain victorious and part of that church that He's coming back for. These are the days in which the believer must be stern. These are the days in which you must be stern, and you must be a disciplinarian over your own life. Satan's brainwashing tactics are evident. The permissive are being overwhelmed. These doctrines of devils that perhaps even try to affect the good holy church are trying to get me wrapped up in my life. When the true church, I love not my life unto death, and I want to be Christ-centered and for Jesus and put Him first and deny myself. And in so doing, I get the abundant life. But we put the abundant life without the denying of self. May I continually seek God, die daily. Don't let a spark become a blaze in your life. Put it out while it's still a spark. Keep your sense of reverence for God strong. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. This present age loves to trample on everything that is sacred. May we in the Church of Calvary Temple keep our prayer life and our altars alive. I continually pray that our altars will be full and people seeking God. Be careful of the company you keep. Be extremely selective when it comes to reading material or the TV viewings. Christians should be real watchdogs over their thoughts and over their conversations. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2 that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is a daily process. It cannot be accomplished by our efforts alone. It's not even accomplished by willpower. It's accomplished by will surrender and Holy Ghost power. The anointing of the Spirit must flow over our thinking continually. I am aware when I am communing with the Holy Spirit and I have Holy Ghost thoughts. And I'm aware when I don't have those kind of thoughts. And I pray you keep a watch on your mind. And continually, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God and keep your conscience clear. This renewing of our mind is the real antidote to the slow wearing down process of the enemy. Judas Iscariot stands as a warning that horrible characters can be formed right in the presence of Jesus. A spiritual atmosphere is no shelter from spiritual deterioration if the individual makes no effort to remain true. You can come to a fired up church, but if you don't do your part, you can slowly see the wearing away process. We cannot assume that all is well with everyone who is in our church. It was taught, and it is still true. I was taught this when I was younger, and it's still true today. Parents, don't take for granted that your children are well just because they're in church. Bad characters can be formed right in the atmosphere of a fired-up Pentecostal church if a constant vigil is not maintained. I remember pastoring in White Salmon. We'd have a good move of God, and yet right in the middle of it, there were people backsliding that I wasn't aware of at the time. Let me close. Be careful to avoid off-color jokes. Be careful to watch all reading material. Watch over your prayer life. Watch over your thought life. Watch over your spirit. Don't let offenses and grievances, and always be quick to forgive. I've always been impressed with the way the first chapter of Daniel closes. That means I'm going to close. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Here in Daniel's life there, a kingdom fell, but Daniel continued. Men came and they went, but Daniel remained faithful and continued. In our godless, permissive age, there are Christians who are continuing. They are like Enoch. They are walking with God. The enemy presses them daily, but to no avail. The slow working down process is not working in their lives. And you can be victorious in this day if you'll continually seek Him with all your heart and put Jesus first. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your blessed word. We have come and we have worshiped You. I pray, Lord, this week be a good week as we love You, as we fight the good fight of faith, and may we continue. May we also, God, watch over our heart, our mind, and our soul. Bless Your people. Help us to be disciplined. With Your help, we overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.